Welcome to Framework a Field.
Framework is a show consecrated to field recording and its use in composition. Field recording, phonography, the art of sound hunting. Open your ears and listen. Framework a Field is a new series of Framework special editions curated and produced by guest artists from around the world. A new edition is aired every second Wednesday at 1 p.m., alternating with our usual Framework broadcasts. For more information, you can contact us via email. Our email address is framework@talk21.com, or you can see our website at www.resonancefm.com/framework. This edition has been produced in Oxford, England by Felicity Ford. For more information, see www.littlesongbox.co.uk.
As an only child, I pass the time by collecting things. I collected stamps on approval through the post. I collected car number plates, standing for hours on bridges with my eye spy book. And later, when my parents bought me my first cassette recorder, I collected sounds. I collected the sounds of the local park. I collected the sound of going to the bathroom, carefully reconstructed with a tooth mug full of water, slowly poured into a toilet bowl. And I collected the sound of my grandmother's voice, singing songs from the Boer War.
Thank you. The only ones we've chatted to these last day or two have just been using it as a through route from north to south to get onto the Thames, because you just go through the lock down here and Thames is only just over there. That's one route through. The other, you don't even have to come down this far to get to it. You go through what's called Duke's Cuts, perhaps 2 or 3 miles north, and it avoids coming down here if you want to avoid it. I can't see why you wouldn't, because it's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Jericho area of Oxford over there.
The opposite the old boatyard.
Yes, yeah. And that's Isis Lock, or I think it's called Louse Lock sometimes. It takes you out into the Sheepwash Channel, which goes over to the Thames.
Oh, right, so that's the Sheepwash Channel beyond the Isis Lock that goes down that way.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called heading south.
Yeah.
But immediately you come out the lock, you turn right, and I suppose it's a couple of hundred yards, and you're into the Thames above, I think it's Osborne Tapping.
Every day. I get up in the morning, get in the bathtub, I sit there in the tub, shave, wash, get out. I prefer a bath, but if I have the choice, if I'm in a rush, I'll give a shower, but I prefer a bath.
I don't put shaving cream on, I just shave straight in the shower. I find it a lot easier that way. The hot water does the trick, so it doesn't hurt to shave. I don't use any shaving cream, which saves money. I just don't understand why everyone doesn't do it, to be honest.
It's Worcester College, I just read in this book.
That's why.
This used to get flooded all the time.
I'm too clumsy to shave in the shower, and I need a mirror. And because we don't have a mirror,
they filled it in.
And that's probably when the world disappeared.
My
dad did that. Aristotle's well as well.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, Isis, Plato, Aristotle.
Oh, I see. Okay, so here is this bit that comes off the bank. Okay, so look, here you've got the river. And then just before Upper Fisher Road, there was a lock. That came to this bit. And this is still the river, pretty much following St. Thomas Street. That's the one. Okay, so Plato's well was there, and that's all gone. And there you had the river in two, one of which was then made the canal and stopped there, as it stopped now, and then continued the river down. And then it goes off.
Oh well, it's just too long ago, isn't it?
So time.
After I've eaten, rather than before.
In the morning, I actually don't do anything until I have had a cup of tea. Like anything, just straight away, direct line to the kettle.
I like to use a teapot when I make a cup of tea. So I'll always boil up the water and put the, if I'm making it just myself, just a tea bag into the teapot, and then pour the hot water onto the tea bag. But the problem is that if you're just making it for yourself, it does take longer to diffuse. If you're making it just in a cup, you can just kind of strain it and it's all ready for you in about, like, well, as long as it takes the water to boil. In a teapot, it's slightly different because you got to wait, and even just swishing the water around, like say I'm in the morning and I'm making a cup of tea and I'm in a hurry, it's difficult doing it in the teapot, which you've got to wait for ages, and swishing it around just doesn't do it, so you're still straining it. And the whole point of doing it in a teapot is that you've got time for it to kind of diffuse naturally. The most ideal way to make a cup of tea is to make it for more than one person, so that there are two tea bags in the teapot, and it doesn't take any time at all for it to diffuse. Even better, if you're making it for maybe three or four people, you'll put three tea bags in the teapot, and it will really be a really good, strong, nice cup of tea, and you'll know it's right. You know, you'll know as you pour it, like, it's the right colour.
I like to get things very, very much in order, so like the fridge, I like to put meals to be very, very, and I like the pizzas to be in a certain shelf, I like the meat to be in a certain shelf, I like the fridge to be very, very orderly, and the fruit cupboard, I like that to be very orderly as well, in certain sort of positions, etc. Unfortunately, because I'm one, I do look out for offers and things, or three for twos, invariably we can't fit everything in the cupboard or the fridge, and this creates problems sometimes. Freezer I have to be very careful with, because of course if you've got too much stuff you can't get it in, and therefore, so I have to work out exactly how much space I've got in the freezer.
Things that need important chilling, like fish and dairy products, I'll put on the bottom shelf because it's the colder part of the fridge, because cold air sinks. And things that aren't so important, like perhaps butter that you don't want to get too hard, I might stick on the top, but that's a dairy product. Things that aren't so important, like sauces and things like that, In the middle I put meats, and then the veggies go in the bottom compartment and the eggs go in the egg thing. It organises you. It tells you what to do really, which is good, because I need controlling sometimes.
I think it should be organised by category and easy of reach. So the things that, for example, the things that you use less should be at the back, the things that you should use more often and go off sooner should be at the front. And the action is by category. The fridge should be maybe fresh meat below dairy products and things like that. It's just that I have fun doing it. I think I like organizing things.
Well, usually for lunch we have sandwiches, but then when it comes to supper time, we do have to look in the fridge and make a decision based on what is there. And it's a bit like Ready, Steady, Cook, really. Let's see what we can make in the shortest time possible from what's there in the fridge.
I toast the pitas, so they're easier to open. And inside I put, you know, like salad and tomatoes and cucumber I chop all the celery up and stuff, and little bits of spring onion. But I've stopped having pita bread recently because I've gone on this like wheat-free diet for no other reason. I want to give it a go and see how it. So I've got some rye bread, so I can't really cram them. As it's difficult to cram the. You can have more in a pita bread. You can really just kind of cram it full, so you've got loads of goodness in there. But with rye bread, it's quite heavy bread, so you have to just kind of like. But I kind of stick it together. I started using butter, and then I started using mayonnaise instead of butter. And more recently, I've started using hummus because it's really quite sticky. To begin with, I was just putting hummus on one side, but I started putting it on both sides now, and I kind of like quite experimenting with the sandwich.
Sometimes there's a basic food which is pretty mundane in terms of what you're doing, but if you're creating, it's really nice to just sort of think, well, a little bit more of that, a little bit more of this, a bit more paprika, a bit more turmeric. Perhaps we'll add a few more spices, a few more herbs, you know, how could I change this? I don't believe in recipe books, but I like to create myself. It's sort of therapeutic, and I feel pleased with myself. I think, you know, a chef would be proud of that.
My favourites, I have to say, are by raw shrimps. I'm cooking those and having those. I think they are my absolute favourite. And have those almost anything, on salad, a bit of vegetable, even the baked potato. Love raw shrimps. And then they go pink when they're cooked. And then you can just put them out of the pan and clean the pan with a little bit of white wine, pour it out on top. And that's quite nice almost anything. I use them in a stir fry otherwise. And then you can just have a little small bit of veggies, these raw prawns in, stir them around a bit, chop up some veggies and put them in. Like sort of more two things, or courgettes, sliced, little slices of them, just greeny things, and just put those in the plate. That's delicious.
I enjoy breaking eggs into pans a lot, smashing it in. I like that. Quite like the whole bash, when you have to bash and smash things about. I like that. Pouring boiling water all over the pasta, that's fun. And don't enjoy chopping because it's just too dangerous. I think I'm going to chop my hand off or something. I have worked in the kitchens before in the past as a kitchen porter. I used to peel the spuds, used to enjoy that. Peeling spuds is something I do really enjoy. I got given a big dirty bucket of potatoes. Quite mucky, the potatoes. And I'd have to then run under cold water. That'd be a nice feeling to take the dirty horrible potatoes, scrubbing them down with a brush first of all, taking the dirt off is satisfying, so then seeing a good clean potato, and then I get out the potato peeler and start really going at the potato right round it. I wasn't At first, I was terrible at it. I was absolutely terrible. I would make a mess. The chef would come over and look at me like I was an absolute idiot. Like, what is it taking you so long to peel a potato? Because I had such little experience. But by the end there, I was absolutely racing through them. I'd really get a lot of satisfaction. And perhaps because it is a skill, as it in a way, as well, peeling a potato. Is it something you just... If you give a child a potato peeler, they'll probably injure themselves. You know, you can't just do it straight away. And then just seeing at the end of it all a big bucket of freshly peeled potatoes, knowing they're going to be made into, well, mashed potato or perhaps chips or something. Someone's nice meal is a nice feeling. You know? I can't say I do it often these days because, you know, as I said, my wife does most of the cooking, but definitely peeling potatoes is at the top of my list of satisfying things to do.
I love cheese graters because I love cheese. I eat a lot of cheese. I'd say about 50% of my body mass is cheese. I like grating cheese because I really, really like cheese. And grating cheese is a particularly convenient way of preparing cheese. Because when cheese is grated, it's so much more palatable. My cheese grater is just a standard cuboid, hollowed cuboid, with the bottom obviously cut away so that the cheese can fall out of it. And it's usually always got the dried on remains of other people's cheese on it because we don't really wash up too much in our house. Sometimes I grate so much cheese that when I lift the cheese grater, it all stays compacted inside the cheese grater. I don't like doing that because I don't like having to tap the cheese grater to get the cheese out. I want, you know, you can get those cheese graters which are like kind of just graters on Tupperware lids, so that when you grate it, then you can just open the lid and then it's all in a box, you know, Tupperware box for you. Those are amazing. Grating cheese, you know, washing a cheese grater is a contentious issue amongst gastronomic washer-uppers, because they're very, very difficult to wash. You have to wash in one direction, otherwise your sponge ends up grating, and no one likes that. Or your finger, or your fist, depends how you wash it. Depends how big your sponge is, but still. So I usually just leave it in to soak for ages, and then shake it. Even though that doesn't usually get everything off, but then stale cheese isn't that bad to actually have it.
This, it's going to have to simmer away for about 40 minutes. Bon appétit, I suppose.
dance off as purely academic, as despite Ali's brilliant efforts, with 5 days to go, they sold just 10 tickets.
As I say, I have a routine to it. It's very much run the water, put the washing up liquid in, wash the cups, the glasses, leave those to drain for a little while, fill up the washing rack with cups and glasses and odd-shaped things, put the plates and things in to soak, and then dry up the glasses and odd-shaped things and put them away, and then do plates, knives and forks. You usually have to change the water at this point because it's gone very brown and horrible.
I try to be fairly systematic, do the glassware first and then things and then sort of the larger items and then the smaller items, but I live in a house with only one other person and we don't actually have that many dishes, so it's usually just a matter of you wash up what you think you'll need for the meal that's coming up.
I have a tub where the water goes into, and I use hot water running all the time as I'm washing up. And then it fills and I get rid of it and then I start again.
Then it's the pans. I do quite like scrubbing pans, if they're dirty. And especially the ones that have kind of got really burnt stuff on them. That's been there for quite a while. You know, if you really burn something in a pan, it sticks on there and you can't scrub it off all at once. But if you keep going at it over a period of a couple of months, you eventually end up with a completely clean pan again.
I'll put on some gloves because the water will be hot, so it'll be as hot as possible. And I will get a brush or scourer and I will, you know, leave it to soak for a minute or so, or 30 seconds. And then really go at it, cleaning through all the plates, and then cleaning through all the cutlery. I mean, the water will be so hot that I won't be able to keep my hands in for more than a second without them scalding.
I suppose it's a kind of making something new that you think was spoilt or broken. And the saucepans we've got are my family saucepans. They are saucepans which my mum and dad cooked in and cooked meals for me in, so it's quite nice to keep them going. They don't make saucepans like they used to, so there's a certain joy, I suppose, in preserving something which has got memories to it and something which is useful rather than just a picture or an ornament or something. It's nice to use something which reminds you of somebody.
I used to work as a waiter for 15 years, and part of that was on an American Air Force base, and we got very strict health and safety things we had to do, and letting dishes drain is cleaner than wiping them. And it's funny, but with dishes, it's probably the one area that I'm a bit picky. I like my dishes really, really clean.
Anything that involves cleansing, like being cleaned, like I think it actually does something quite deep. I think it's that same thing of kind of cleaning something exterior, and you're kind of, it's relating to purifying something internal. It's the internal and the external, it's the purification process. Because some people seem to think of it as a real chore, but it's kind of like, take your dirty, smelly clothes, make them nice and wearable again. It's brilliant. Put them out on the line, they dry, go and have a nice little time in the sunshine. Go and get them in, they're all nice and dry. Brilliant.
I do a load of washing every day, and I put it in as I go to bed at night so that it's ready in the morning to hang out. And I divide it up into whites, lights, medium colours and dark colours. And I do one wash of each, sort of on rotation. And then in the morning I hang them out. And so in the summer it's lovely because I can go out and hang them out in the garden and hang them on the line. And I do enjoy looking at the washing hanging on the line from my kitchen window. And I hang them out all nice and neatly so that they don't need ironing. And then I take them in the evening, fold them up and put them back in everybody's drawers so they're nice and clean for the next day.
Well, all of my clothes pretty much are black. Therefore, I don't need to do any sorting, which is very handy. And so I just wait until I have what looks like a laundry load full, or until I run out of underwear, which I don't prefer. And then just do a load all at once, and then about half of it goes in the dryer and half of it has to be in the dryer. And so it doesn't really take that long. If it's something that already fits quite small, then I'm a bit worried about putting it in. So if it's nice outside, if it's something, I do like putting it in the garden. Especially because I've got my husband working on lavender growing in it, so I'm a little bit like that.
One of my real pleasures, and my mum used to go on about this, so I think that it's sort of from her. She used to go on about one of the nicest things is to get a fresh bed. And I love it, but the fact that this time of year, when sheets are hung on the lines, they smell different. They not only don't have as many pieces, but there's somehow the smell of the outside of fresh air. And so strip the bed, everything, into a pile, and one pile of duvets and clothes, and another pile of the dirty stuff. And then I pull the bed out, flap the big sheet over, give it a good flap so it's sort of there, and judge it, the edges, is it sort of the middle both ways, so you'll be able to tuck it in all ways. Then I tuck it in, and I try and fold in the corners, but it's not too carefully done. Put the pillows in the clean pillowcases, and I suppose the technique of that is I hold the pillow under my chin and open the bottom at the end, and sort of you shove it up, and then when it's in you could give it a fling up and down to get it down to the end. Then you tuck in the top, and then you give it a shake so that the feathers are sort of all where they should be, not just at one end or whatever. So they're nice plumped up, and they go on the bed. I have one pillow. Dominic has 2 to 3. He insists because of his broad shoulders, he needs that many. And then, in the winter time, we have like a double duvet that you can sort of separate for summer. But normally what I would do is I would get sort of scrunch up the two side corners and then get the two corners of the duvet inside and hold them pinched at each end. Give it a shake. Usually that isn't as effective as you want it to be. So holding one corner, I will then pull down the side a bit, and then holding the other corner, I'll pull that side down a bit, and then actually try to pull it to the end. I'll lie the top bit that's in place flat on the bed, and then pull it to the end, do it up, and then give it a good old shake so that, again, the feathers are more likely to be sort of generally throughout, rather than, they all seem to go to the end, and the kids' ones always seem to go to the end, so they've got a really thin bit at the top and a nice plump bit, so it's sort of shift them, and then that's it. That's all that happens for them.
We've got a slight problem in washing clothes in our household. There seems to always be bags and bags of dirty clothes, so I'm lucky if I can find a clean shirt, but hopefully there'll be a clean shirt for me. If not, I sometimes get frustrated at this point of the day when I can't find any clean underwear, I can't find any clean shirts, I can't find any clean trousers. Finding clean clothes can be an issue sometimes. But usually, even if it's wearing my wife's clothes or my wife's underwear or something, I can find a way.
Well, I tend to find that if you stretch the items of clothing properly, then you don't need, then it's not necessary to iron them too much. I mean, if you have something you're wearing for a very smart occasion, then you could perhaps iron it then. But generally, I find sort of if you just sort of put it in the airing cupboard and stretch it well, that does a reasonably good job. For trousers, for instance, hold one end then the other and stretch them apart. And with shirts, I guess hold the main body of the shirt and the arm and just stretch in that way.
I've got an ironing board that I had as a wedding present in 1964 that I still use. It's really good. It's got a little sleeve thing that I can pull up and a thing that holds the lid. And it's a bit too big for the modern ironing cabinet, but I've got around that. I've got a nice steam iron, and I like using a steam iron.
Getting like to know. Getting to know all about you. Putting it my way, but my you are me, so my cup of tea.
I would sit for hours playing the piano. I made up songs. I tried to play like Elton John. I played a 12-bar blues in C, and I improvised, stretching my fingers into familiar shapes, and then closing my eyes, letting my hands wander. Our living room was quiet, except for the ticking of my grandfather's retirement clock on the wall, and the occasional rumbling of a passing car. At night, when my parents were out, the old floorboards upstairs would creak as they contracted with the changing weather. Thinking someone else was in the house, I felt self-conscious, terrified they'd walk in and hear what I was doing. A framed photograph of Liberace, the famous American pianist and entertainer, sat on top of the piano watching me. He smiled, smug in his black sequined jacket. His signature read, "See you on color telly, 1970. I would sit for hours, watching the three channels on our black and white television, dreaming of life in color.
Stop up here because the kids are
going to the kids. The kids are going to be over here, so move that way.
But someone
we'll move that way then.
All right, I think I'm going to.
Oh, on the other side. Yeah,
you go way over there.
We'll guard the kids.
You want to say
you guys sit over there.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going, ma'am.
Keep on going.
Keep going.
Keep on going. Right.
One more.
Keep going. No, the kids are going to sit here.
Okay, that's mine right there.
Keep going, Dan. Sit over there in the big chair.
I'm sitting right next to you.
I don't care. Linda's, where are you sitting? Well, why don't you tell us where to sit?
Here, I'll move my stuff, okay? I'll sit right here.
Yeah, that'd be probably better
for you to sit down here.
You're not sitting with the kids?
You don't
want to
sit with the rest of the kids?
How come I know
this?
No. Who's sitting
here? Okay.
I'll be this alligator guy. Kids, don't take the food yet.
What? We're going to sit over
Peter,
here.
Don't take the food yet.
We need chairs, though. We got a place with no chairs.
Here.
Well, Linda's going to get a chair.
I'm getting a chair. You sit there. I'm at the end of the day.
All right.
Danny,
well, Dad, you sit there.
Who do you want to sit there? You want to sit here?
No, I'll sit over here with Vince.
At the table.
I'll sit over here.
This is for Linda. Okay, and then right to the side.
Okay, so that's
I'll sit over there.
I'll sit over there. Do you have a chair?
Don't worry about it. You guys sit here. I got it.
I'm a girlfriend attraction!
What?
I'm a girlfriend being attraction with that knife going in. Die! Listen to the music of love and die. In peace!
What did you say?
I'd say right there, it's straight.
straight in this from this side. Maybe a little toward the window. There, whoop, that too much. Okay, right there, that's good. Maybe a tad more toward the window.
I don't really know where to begin, but I guess I'll just bluntly say that, I will begin a little bit. You guys ask a lot of questions lately about things, and I know I probably seem kind of defensive or like I'm not answering directly or that things are not quite right, and I think, you know, this was true also when I was in high school. I was always hiding in my room and locking the door and, you know, always very depressed. And the basic fact is that as long as I've had, you know, any romantic or sexual feelings, they've always been for other men. And I felt like the time has come for me to come out to you guys and say that, you know, I'm no longer interested in, like, you know, hiding who I am or deceiving you guys or deceiving other people or just, you know, it's just... it's no longer really a tenable strategy for living my life. So I didn't think it would be a big surprise. Well, I mean, there's more involved. I mean, there's a reason why I chose now, because, you know, I'm about to go away for a long time. What is that sound?
You have been listening to Framework Afield. For more information, contact us at framework@talk21.com or see our website at www.resonancefm.com/framework.
Thanks for listening.